Welcome to Droid Today, your daily dose of Android news, tips, and tricks. Welcome to Droid Today. I am your host, Chris Wilson, and today is Thursday, the 5th of March 2015. And we've got a new episode of Droid Today just for you. That's right, you. Your name, insert your name here. This episode is for you specifically. Aren't you lucky? If this is your first time listening, then you'll be pleased to know that today this is a daily podcast, Monday to Friday, with the latest Android news, tips, and tricks. If this is your regular time listening, then of course you know that already, today we've got a few news stories, but it's been a bit of a slower news day as well. So actually, I'm going to discuss an evergreen topic, as people say. A topic which is always, always valuable, or people always want to talk about at the end of the episode. And I'd love your ideas and input when we come to that. So for the last topic, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to give my opinion, but I'd also love to hear your thoughts. And if you give me your thoughts, then I'll read them out on the show tomorrow and tell other people what you thought about it as well. But in the meantime, we've still got some new news stories from today. So let's get into these news stories. The top news stories from the Android world. Softcard, formerly ISIS, is going to close down on the 31st of March. It will be replaced by Google Wallet. To celebrate the third anniversary of Google Play, Google has announced a whole load of sales. The Nvidia Shield, not the previous Shield that you've heard about, is a new Tegra X1 powered set-top box that will run Android TV. And plus, at the end, we're going to look at what makes a good app. So the first story, I'm sure you've been following, if you've been listening, you've definitely been following these updates to mobile payment services. And last week, Google acquired partially acquired some of Softcard. More details have come out over the course of this week that Google has picked up some of the intellectual property. That means the ideas, the software, the technology that runs this service. And it also looks like they've struck up some deals with partners, either before this deal went ahead, which then encouraged them to make the deal, or via this deal as well. And the net result is that Softcard, a mobile payment service, is going to shut down. But Google Wallet is going to replace it. Google Wallet is going to come pre-installed on a few carriers, and it is going to be really pushed forward as a mobile payment service. This is very much US-centric news, so it's really hard for me as a European to get behind it. As I've said before, I've never even had the option to install Google Wallet on my devices apart from via pushing it onto my device or sideloading it onto my device. Like, I've never been able to download it from the App Store because it won't work here, and nowhere is supporting it as well. They don't have the deals with the banks or the payment services that they need in Europe. So it's hard for me to get behind this in the same way that I'm sure some Americans are really excited about it. I would love to see at Google I.O. a bigger multinational push of this sort of technology, one that will be of use in Europe or abroad. And possibly the rumours about the Apple Pay API and how this will be available for parties abroad could well fit into that. So it will be interesting to see if something more happens in the future. But in the meantime, if you're a soft card user, I'm very sorry but that this is going to shut down. But you can switch over to using Google Wallet. So the next story is Google has been celebrating the third anniversary of the Play Store. It's important to note the Play Store, not the Android Market as it was called beforehand. And to celebrate the third anniversary of the Play Store, they've been having a lot of sales and a lot of high discounts on certain products, such as a couple of the Runtastic Pro programs are only 10 cent or 10p if you're like me and in Britain and use the British App Store. But today they've also announced Google's Ghost Stories. That album is free on Google Play. Plus also in America, Transformers, the first Transformers film with plenty of mayhem, that is free as well. Fast and the Furious, I believe... No, Fast... I think it's Fast and Furious. That's free in the British Play Store at the moment. I believe in Australia as well, I seem to remember hearing. So definitely keep an eye out. Head over to the Play Store. They've got some... they've got a landing page with the different discounts that they have on. There's books, there's magazines, there's apps, some in-app purchases, Wanderlist, the application for task management, they have a discount on as well, a huge discount on their offering. $4.99 for a year of premium membership instead of something like $49.99, I think. So it's really worth checking out. I picked up one of my favorite films from last year, Chef, for a discounted price yesterday. So definitely keep an eye out for these sales. They seem to be going on for a while. It's been up for a few days, so keep out for new ones. Nvidia have been really pushing forward gaming on Android, and their latest move is to announce the Shield. That's not the Shield tablet. It's not the first Shield, you know, the one which was like a controller with the pop-up screen. No, this is a new Shield, which is a set-top box which runs Android TV and has the latest Tegra X1 chip inside it to power it. So this is a device that you're going to be able to plug your TV into. You'll have Android TV, so you can watch films, you can listen to music via it, you could stream things from online, you could YouTube clips or whatever. But also, you're going to be able to get those Nvidia-specific games that you can't get on other Android devices, as well as, of course, Android games. These Nvidia-specific games include things such as Doom 3, Doom Crisis 3, Borderlands, the pre-sequel, Portal, Half-Life 2, and more. This device, this box, is going to come out at about $199 and will include a Shield controller, a slightly adapted controller from the one that you get with the tablet, ever so slightly different. And you can get extra controllers as well. You can have up to four controllers plugged into this device. So some interesting things about it is high spec, 3 gigabytes of RAM. It's only got 16 gigabytes of onboard storage, but the connection options are brilliant. If you were disappointed by the Nexus Player, then you're going to love this device. It's got two USB slots, a USB 3 slot. It can have a Ethernet connection if you want to plug in directly from your router. It's got a HDMI out. It's got a micro SD card slot, which supports up to 128 gigabytes of memory. It is a bit larger than some of the other devices that are around. It also supports Wi-Fi as well, just to be clear there. It's a bit larger than devices like the Android Player, but it's much more powerful. You've got much more connections there, many more connections even. This could be the set-top box that you want, which could turn your TV into a console. Well, it's kind of a console anyway, but it also has other options. And if you love Android, then, you know, maybe this is the one for you. $199, it's not super cheap, but it is still cheaper than some others. And you get all your Android content on this device as well. So maybe this is something that would interest you. So the last topic of the day is going to be something a bit different than I've done before. Just going to try it out. I'd love to see your feedback on it. And the idea is, what makes a good app? So what I'm going to tell you is my opinion of what makes a good app. And I'm not saying this is right for everyone. Perhaps it's not even fully correct for me. But this is what I think, consciously, I'm aware of, makes a good app. And I would love your ideas as well, your feedback and criticism. So you can do that by going onto the website droidtoday.com, or you can send us a message on Twitter @droid_today. But I'll tell you mine, and then tomorrow we'll collect the feedback and share some of people's thoughts as well on the Friday show. So I think the first thing that makes a great app is functionality. Does it do something? If you remember at the beginning of the App Store, like the Apple App Store, as well as the Android one, there were all these devices which were things like they turned your phone into a whip, or they made it sound like a lightsaber when you moved it in the air. And, you know, they were nice, they were cute for a while, but no one uses one of those anymore. We've all moved on to much more important apps. Even things like a good game has a solid function, and that is to entertain you. And a good app has to do something for you. My favorite apps are the ones which help me do something easier, or do something I couldn't do otherwise. I have a task management app because I forget things all the time. And my one of choice also has location-based reminders, which I could never do on my own, apart from seeing a visual clue, as well as time-based reminders if I need it at a specific time. I love Evernote because I can capture memories much better than I can myself. And I'm just trying to think of some of the big apps that I use and their functionalities, and it's not so easy, to be honest. But some of the really big ones I use, the camera, you know, I can't do that without it. Podcast player. Yeah, I do listen to podcasts on my PC, but when I'm on the go, it's not something I can do. Social media, I mean, just things that they add an extra function that I would not be able to do elsewhere. I think the next criteria that I'd add is ease of use. And this actually includes quite a few different elements. Things such as design. Does it look good? If it doesn't look appealing, then that's not going to make it easy to use. How many clues visually it's got in there to guide you as you use it. Does it have too many functions even? That can actually make something more complicated to use. Or is it just, is it childish in the way it speaks to you and makes you interact with it? Can you interact with it in a natural way, and things like that? So it's not just about how it visually looks, but that definitely makes a part of it. My favorite apps have a great visual design, but they're usually horrifically simple so that anyone could use them straight away, but can become a lot more complicated and powerful the more you use them. I think the final big criteria I can think of is availability. There was an app that I really wanted for a long time, but it just wasn't available in my region. And yeah, I could sideload it, but there was a reason why it wasn't available in my region. It was region locked for a certain reason, legal reason, deals with different partners. And that availability made this application impossible for me to use. It made it unavailable, and so it was an app which I couldn't use. Another aspect of that is also when you can use it. Is this an app that you're going to use all the time? Is it an app that only works under certain circumstances? If it has a really strong function in those few circumstances, then maybe it will still be a great app. But if it doesn't do that much of a unique deal, maybe you'll just use something else. I think I often do. So those are kind of the three criteria I came up with: functionality, ease of use, and availability. I'm sure there are many more. I'd love your ideas on them. So head over to droidtoday.com and give me some of your ideas. What makes a good app? Or send us a message on Twitter @droid_today. Finally, if you've liked today's episode, please consider giving us a review on iTunes. It would really help us out and allow other people to discover us. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you again tomorrow for another special Friday episode of Droid Today. I'm not sure exactly what I'll do to make it special, but I'm sure I'll do something else to make it a special one. So see you tomorrow. Good night.